If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. The phone number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. Thank you for joining us tonight. We have a couple great guests lined up a little later on. We've got Brandon Dodd, who is a Senate candidate for State Senate for the 27th District. That's the Jackson area, seat currently held by Lo Finney. And we have Mike Werner, who is a candidate, to Constitution Party candidate in the 67th District, Montgomery County, currently held by Joe Pitts. And Mike is going to talk a little bit about his campaign, but he's primarily going to talk about voter suppression and voter suppression specifically where it concerns minority parties. And by minority parties, I don't mean having to do with race. I mean, you know, the Constitution Party is a minority party. Any third party is what we're looking at there. Got some announcements that I want to get out to you real quick. The Tennessee 7th and 8th District Tea Party Coalitions present Richard Mack and John Harris. This is 6:30 p.m. Thursday, February 27th at Union University, 1050 Union University Drive, Jackson, Tennessee, at the Carl Grants Event Center. Richard Mack, while serving as the sheriff of Graham County, Arizona, refused to enforce the Brady Bill and challenged its constitutionality. As a result, he won a Supreme Court case that was a monumental decision for freedom. Sheriff Mack is an author, a dynamic speaker, a constitutionalist, and a patriot. In 2011, the TN8 Tea Party Coalitions provided a copy of Sheriff Mack's book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope to Every Tennessee Sheriff. John Harris III graduated Vanderbilt Law School in 1986 and has maintained a full-time law practice in Nashville since. John is a referral attorney with the National Rifle Association and other national-level firearms advocacy groups. He also instructs judicial magistrates, fellow attorneys, and law enforcement agencies on the power of the use of deadly force. Excuse me, on the proper use of deadly force. John is the executive director of the Tennessee Firearms Association, a well and prolific speaker, and a proponent of constitutional compliance in Tennessee. Now, at this event, and that's this coming Thursday, we're going to honor Senator May Beavers. You're not going to find a more conservative senator in Tennessee who fights harder for what we believe in. Representative Judd Matheny, he's kind of, you could say, her House counterpart, and Mr. Andy Miller. If there's a good conservative thing going on in Tennessee, Andy Miller's probably got something to do with it. And we're also going to have U.S. Senate candidate Joe Carr will be speaking. Joe Carr, for those of you who may not know yet, is running against Lamar Alexander. And Joe Carr is a real conservative as opposed to the phony conservative Lamar Alexander, who votes with Obama, I don't know, probably 50-60% of the time, something like that. Anyway, the purpose of this event is a fundraiser for both the 7th and 8th District Tea Parties and also to, you know, educate the public. There's also a free portion of this at, I think, 3:30, same location for law enforcement. So if any of you have law enforcement in your family or have any friends, get them to this event. They show up at 3:30. They have a free briefing with Sheriff Mack. And you can get tickets at tn8tpc.org/sheriffmack.html. Just Google Sheriff Mack event in Jackson, Tennessee. I'm sure it will come up. I've only got a couple more days left to get your tickets, so hope to see you there. It's a great cause. Okay, also, if you live in the Clarksville area, Family Action Council of Tennessee, that's headed up by David Fowler, and nobody fights harder for Judeo-Christian values in our state than David Fowler, I can tell you right there. And, The event is in Clarksville. Let's see, February 25th. And where it? Oh, I'm sorry, 6:30, from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Clarksville Montgomery County Library. That's 350 Paget Lane, Clarksville, Tennessee, 37043. So hope to see you there. Dave always has good insight because, you know, every day that he's, if he's not out doing something, an event like this, he's at the legislature lobbying legislators for good conservative legislation, family-friendly legislation. I'm going to come back to something he wrote here in just a minute. I want to make sure I get through these other announcements, and I've got a few bills that I want to touch on real quick here. And let's see. Before I forget, you may have heard about the book Betrayed, and Betrayed is about the flight of Extortion 17. Extortion 17, for those of you who don't know, was made up primarily of the SEAL team, and not all the SEAL team members, but the bulk of the SEAL team members who took out bin Laden. Well, this happened just a few months after they took out bin Laden. They were all, most of them were put on this one, as I understand it, older aircraft. Didn't have the capabilities that special operators normally have when they go into a danger area. Because of the rules of engagement, they weren't allowed to, you know, use suppressive fire to try to secure the landing zone. There were some last-minute changes with the Afghani nationals that were manifested on the flight. A lot of unanswered questions. And for the last 2 years, Billy Vaughn and Karen Vaughn, the parents of Aaron Vaughn, one of the Navy SEALs killed in that event, they wrote a book called Betrayed, and it's about these last 2 years of trying to get some answers because they got either no answers or they got contradictory answers about what actually happened. And there's finally going to be a congressional hearing on it, February 27th, and it's all about the downing of Extortion 17. So that's something you're going to want to, you know, listen to. That will be, you know, of course in D.C., but see what you can get online and find out about that. Call your representative and tell them you're very interested and concerned because, you know, it just seems strange that so many of our Navy SEALs would have been shoved on this one aircraft. There's just way too many unanswered questions, you know, like everything with this administration. So hopefully we'll get to the bottom of what happened, but that's something we need to keep focused on. Okay. A couple of bills coming up that you need to know about. Annexation. Tennessee is one of three states that allows forced annexation. And forced annexation is basically a city can decide that the county area outside it needs to be annexed. They need to become part of the city, whether they want to or not. Now, they can allow them to vote, but they don't have to, and they generally don't. So one of the things that there's some legislation out there that the goals of the legislation are to stop cities from having the power to do that and to make sure the people impacted always get a vote. You should always get a vote on whether or not your property is going to be annexed by the city. All right, but there's some legislation out there. There's House Bill 590 by Representative Van Hus, and it's got 66 sponsors. Now, 66 sponsors out of 99, that's a lot of support on the House side. It should pass in the House tomorrow. It's got to pass with its companion bill. The companion bill is Senate Bill 869. Originally written by Senator Crow. As I understand it, Senator Watson, Bo Watson, is taking that bill over now. That bill has to get through the Senate. If you don't get both the House and the Senate bill through, it's not going to pass. So, and I understand there's a couple other versions. Representative Carter has a different bill. Doesn't do quite the same thing, but he does have a different bill that addresses at least some of the issue, and there's also another Senate version. But neither the House version or the Senate version of those have gone through. But bottom line is this. If we don't get a Senate bill through, you know, once the House bill gets through tomorrow, if we don't get a Senate bill through, what's going to end up happening is the third option out there is a bill that the establishment is pushing. By Senator Norris, and I don't have that number, but basically it's a bill that would just extend the moratorium that was passed last year. So if that happens, you know, especially tomorrow, assuming the House passes it, and it's got 66 sponsors out of 99, don't know why it wouldn't pass, then the ball will be in the Senate's court. I tell you what, it's going to be a shame. It's going to be a disgrace If the House passes it with that many supporters and the Senate does not pass this bill that would allow the people of Tennessee to have a vote on whether or not their property can be annexed. So make sure that you get in touch with your senator, tell him that you want to see action on Senate Bill 869. You don't want the Tasser bill, the bill that Senator Norris is pushing. That bill just that delays and pushes it off for another year or two. So that's something you need to look at. Give him a call. Okay, Common Core. Let's see, we got a couple minutes here before I have to do this reading. Okay, there were some bills scheduled for Common Core this week, but they did get pushed back. Let's see, House Bill 2332, repeal Common Core standards by Representative Womack. It's not going to be heard tomorrow. It's been scheduled for March 4th. All right, it's been rescheduled for March 4th. So that gives you a little more time to make some calls and give the sponsor more time to kind of beat up some support for it up there. Right now, there's only 10 co-sponsors on this bill, so we definitely need to get more than that. And let's see, there's a lot of bills on the 25th, and I don't have, okay, Representative Butt, Sheila Butt has one for schedules, scheduled for tomorrow. Let's see, that is House Bill 1697, Restore Cursive Writing. House Bill 1696, Withdraw from Park, also sponsored by Sheila Butt. And let's see, House Bill 1842 would allow parents to opt their children out of high-stakes testing. There's a lot of different education-related bills. What you really need to do is go to Tennesseans Against Common Core website.com, you can get, excuse me, TennesseansAgainstCommonCore.net. So TNACC.net, and that will give you an update of the bills that we're looking at this week, education-wise. So get on there, make the calls. There's another bill here, and I'm going to have to do this one here in just a second after the break, or after I do this read. Give me just a second, please. Okay, America is still the freest country on earth, for now anyway. And those of us who love America and the Constitution and know the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away. And our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalowski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty and rights under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalowski, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And you're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. If you've got a comment or a question, I'd love to hear from you. There's a couple other bills that you need to know about. You know, meth is a problem in Tennessee. And, you know, that's not one of those drugs. Some people are for legalizing certain drugs. I'm not a fan of legalizing drugs. I'm certainly not a fan of legalizing meth. But like so many things in a drug war, good intentions a lot of times have a negative impact on the people that they're not intended to impact. There's a bill that would require a prescription for medicines containing pseudoephedrine, okay, which is one of the common ingredients in medicines, you know, cold medicines, allergy medicines, and that's one of the things that they use to make meth. And so out of concern for this problem, one of the bills is House Bill 1791. It requires prescription for medicines containing pseudoephedrine, and House Bill 1574 severely limits how much pseudoephedrine you can buy without a prescription. These bills, like I say, honorable intentions, making it harder for meth heads to get this stuff and make it up in their labs, but what about all the people who have severe allergies? What about all the people, you know, that have other reasons that they, you know, need to use a fairly large quantity of these medicines, you know, 30-day supply or whatever, to have to run and get a prescription every month for these? I mean, that's just going to add to the cost of health care. It's an inconvenience for everybody. But, you know, once again, here you have people who are taking a legal substance They're making something illegal out of it. And in an attempt to curtail that, which is understandable, they're really going to put a burden on the honest people who just need the medicine. So we really need to think about that. Well, not to mention there's already a meth registry out there. Before we pass another bill designed to slow down the or to hamper the meth production, first off, we need to make sure that the current meth registry that we're using is being fully utilized. Need to be aware of the fact that there's a lot of the Mexicans are bringing in a lot of meth. And when I say that, I don't necessarily mean just the illegal aliens. I'm really talking about the Mexican cartel. Mississippi passed a law like this not long ago. Well, guess what? It has not stopped the massive quantities of Mexican meth, high-grade meth, into their state. Okay. Same thing in Oregon. They passed these laws restricting it and making the average honest person have to go through additional hoops to use a legal substance in a legal way, but it hasn't done anything to really curtail the illegal use of this legal substance. So we really need to think about that. But you need to give your representatives a call on this, and this one does not have bill numbers. However, Representative Jeremy Faison, 615-741-6871. Representative Micah Van Hus, 615-741-1717. And Representative William Lamberth, 615-741-1980, are sponsors of the bills that I mentioned. And the bills are House Bill 1791 and House Bill 1574. So just keep that in mind. Give them a ring. And we're going to take a call here from Kurt real quick. He may have an update for us. Had a little trouble last week. Hopefully we won't have as much trouble this week. How's it going, Kurt?
So far, so good, Dave. How about yourself?
You got a comment or a question?
Well, kind of, sort of. Earlier you were speaking about the annexation thing, and I posted over in the chat. Lo and behold, I got into the chat on Blog Talk Radio tonight. I don't. The NSA must decide to let me in. I posted a link. I guess they're baiting a trap. I posted a link there to an article that's in our local Paris paper over here. I found it interesting that Paris paper runs on an incident out in Colorado where the county is depriving private owners. It's an unusual situation. These people bought 10 acres of isolated ground, and now the county won't let them cross, use a road to get there, and they're trying to completely take it away from them. So it's, you know, it's interesting. I just looked at it and see, you know, let the reader beware. I mean, you know, you see what they can and will do anywhere, anytime.
Yep. They will. We gotta take back some of our power that we're supposed to have, because they've got way, way too much. Kirk, can you hold with us? I got to take a quick break.
Sure, I can.
All righty. Hey, don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Hey, Kurt, you've got an event coming up in Henry County here in a few weeks. You want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, I sure will. And to preface it, I regret that I cannot be in Jackson this coming Thursday night because there's going to be a lot of my friends there, and I would like to see the honorees receive their acclaim for that meeting, but I cannot be there. Anyway, on March the 15th, that's a Saturday, March 15th at 6:30 in the afternoon at the Henry County Fairgrounds here in Paris, Henry County, Tennessee, will be a Reagan Day dinner put on by the Henry County Republican Party. It'll be we'll do everything that we normally do. Got a catered meal, some live musical entertainment, a silent auction of items that are being donated by local merchants and businesses. But the most important here are two speakers. One gentleman has already been mentioned who will be in Jackson this Thursday night, John Harris. John Harris, of course, is the executive director for the Tennessee Firearms Association and avid Second Amendment rights guy. And before we get away from that subject, I wanted to see if you'd like to address the issue in a moment of the state representative who accused John of spreading hate. You know of the email that I'm talking about. We'll get back to that in a minute.
Okay.
Anyway, John Harris will be one of our featured speakers. The other will be Dr. Jeffrey Atticott, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Army, retired. He is the director of the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University in San Antonio, Texas. This man has a sparkling bio, a 20-year veteran of the U.S. Army. He has served as a JAG officer 5 years of it. He was legal advisor to the Army Special Forces. And since retiring from the military, he has taught terrorism law there at St. Mary's. He's an internationally traveled and internationally spoken gentleman. He is delivered over 700 speeches around the world on the subject of terrorism and law and our laws as it relates to it. So I want to urge, if you haven't been informed yet or know anything about this event, haven't got your ticket, urge you, I think you'll find it well worth your time to come and hear these two fellows speak. This is not going to be your grandfather's Reagan Day dinner, okay?
Not with John Harris there, I guarantee you.
we can absolutely say that this is a rhino-free event unless one buys a ticket, okay?
Yeah, and they probably won't stay too long. Well, let's talk about that just a little bit, what you mentioned. I don't want to get too much into detail, all right? It is out there. It's on the Internet. It's on Facebook. But I want to talk about it just a little bit. Now, last year in Tennessee, they passed a safe commute law, which essentially would allow you, if you have a handgun carrying permit, to keep that gun in your vehicle, out of sight, and wherever you worked at. Now, they passed it. And the TFA, John Harris and others, told the governor, the lieutenant governor, who was sponsoring the legislation, if I recall correctly, that, hey, it's legal and there's nothing they can do to you. And they made the point, well, you know, there's nothing in here that guarantees that people won't get fired for doing that. They may not face any criminal charges, but they can lose their job. Good Lord.
I'm sorry. That's my fault for that background.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know what happened there.
Yeah, that's my bad. I killed it. Okay.
Anyway, the law was passed despite the concerns expressed by the TFA that this wouldn't prevent people from being fired. Well, not too long ago, the Attorney General pretty much said that, yes, this law will still allow people to be fired. And the Lieutenant Governor said, well, you know, he's a Democrat. You can't pay attention to what he says. I wish he would take that tack with the Attorney General on other things. They haven't done that so far. But anyhow, bottom line, there was a bill. There was an amendment to a bill. And the bill was House Bill 1405 by Gerald McCormick to identify a privately owned vehicle. It gave some definition. And basically, it's an act to amend the code. You know, it lists the code. And relative to motor vehicles on which a firearm or firearm ammunition may be transported or stored by a handgun carry permit holder. And Representative Potes was House Amendment 0610 to the bill. Well, the amendment was defeated, and the amendment would have basically said, hey, you can't be fired. And I'm paraphrasing here, but employers cannot fire people for exercising their Second Amendment right. You know, they have a permit holder, and they're a permit holder, they have the vehicle in their, they have the gun in their vehicle, they have it locked up, they have it secured, you can't fire. You can't do a search and fire. So the amendment failed, and John Harris, president of the TFA, sent out an email, and he identified those who didn't even bother to vote, and he identified those who voted against the amendment. And I think rightfully so. What would you expect? A pro-Second Amendment, pro-self-defense organization to do. And Representative Holt, who was one of those named for voting against it, this is not an exclusive. He has posted it on his Facebook page because he was asked about it. He's put it in an email. And here is – and let me back up just a little – well, yeah, okay. Let me go ahead and read this to you. Okay. Article 2, Section 17 of the Tennessee Constitution says, no bill shall become a law which embraces more than one subject. That subject to be expressed in the title. The Senate did the exact same thing on the same amendment, on the same bill a few weeks ago. This is the bottom line on why the amendment wasn't reasonably or constitutionally considered. And he basically accused John Harris of just trying to stir up trouble and not being well informed on the state constitution. And, you know, he points out that this is what makes us different from Washington. A bill about domestic education in Washington can also send $8 billion to foreign aid to some Middle Eastern country that hates our guts. I'm a huge fan of subject-specific legislation restrictions. I hope this helps. I didn't vote against guns. I voted for the Tennessee State Constitution. Please do me the service of passing this along. Many thanks and best wishes. Now, that came from Representative Andy Holt to a friend of ours who sent it out, as Representative Holt asked him to do. Now, I will say this. I like the specific, you know, a bill that the title of the bill has to match what's in the bill. I'm all for that. When you're talking about, you know, he gave a good example. It might be an education bill, and you vote for the education bill, think you're voting for education bill, which you should not be doing at the federal level anyway. But whatever the case might be, you're voting for education, and you don't want to find out that there was an amendment in there or there was something else in the legislation that had nothing to do with education and was something that you were totally against. All right? So you should not attach things that are not – you should not have things that are not related in the same legislation. I agree with that 100%. But both of these bills, and you're going to have to read them for yourself. I'm not going to read both the bills off, okay? But you really need to do this. Go to Tennessee Gov website and look up House Bill 1405 and look up Mark Potes' amendment, which was House Amendment 0610. Both of them talk about motor vehicles, firearms, and motor vehicles. That's what they talk about. So, you know, he says that this is the same reason that the Senate rejected it a couple weeks ago. Well, I'll be honest with you. I remember when that vote happened. I don't remember anybody. I know my senator didn't say that was the reason he voted against it. And I'm curious. Are they this Do they follow this literally on every other topic? I'm willing to bet they don't. Anyway, we're against the hard break. We'll talk about this some more when we come back from the break, because it is important. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to ConservativeNationMedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's ConservativeNationMedia.com, and then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break. And where did it go? Where did it go? Lost something on the screen here. Here we go.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Find a relaxed position to let go of the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk four sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number 718-305-7176. And before the break, we were talking about House Bill 1405 and House Bill or House Amendment 0610 by Representative Pody, House Bill 1405 by Representative McCormick. And the issue is the amendment failed. John Harris from the TFA kind of sent out a little notice to everybody and letting them know who didn't bother to vote and who voted against their right to basically their Second Amendment right, or limiting it anyway. Because, you know, if you say you have a right to defend yourself, but you can't even take your weapon to work with you, now we're not talking about inside the building. We're talking about in a parking lot and have it locked up, have it out of sight. And the defense that Representative Holt is using is that the bill was not essentially not germane to the topic, but both of them dealt with guns in vehicles, okay, motor vehicles, guns, and so I really don't quite understand this. I don't understand how it's a different topic, and I would be shocked to find that they follow it this close to the letter on anything else, and we never heard the Senate make that argument, or it never got back to me anyway, or nobody else. Matter of fact, if that argument would have been made when the Senate voted that amendment down, I'm sure we would have known this then because TFA would have sent the information out. So what do you think, Kurt?
I'm sorry, Dave, I got distracted there. I wasn't following you.
We were talking about the situation there with Representative Holt and the TFA, the gun bill.
The first thing that popped in my mind when I saw that in that email, that word hate in his speech just leapt off the page, off the screen at me. That is leftist, Democrat, progressive speak. When all else fails, and you want to attack your opponent, accuse them of being a hater or distributing hate, or, you know, it's either hate or racist. Those are the two top, or bigot, you know, it all goes in the same boat. That's what jumped out at me on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be real honest with you. I consider that juvenile.
Yeah. And I don't really know Representative Holt that well. I've heard good things about him. I've heard not so good things about him. I'm not writing the guy off, but I tell you what, I don't buy his excuse or his response on this one, that's for sure.
No.
But everybody had to make that decision for themselves. You know, you do a comparison of House Bill 1405 and House Amendment 0610, and you decide for yourself whether or not they are the same topic, if they would fit in the same subject line. So go back here to Common Core just a little bit. You know, but there's a lot of legislation that's going to be school-related, education-related. Of course, Common Core, we want to get that repealed. It's been delayed, the bill on it, Senate bill, till next week, till sometime in early March. But the Tennesseans Against Common Core, they do have a campaign. They have little spots because you may have heard the Chamber of Commerce, and actually I don't think that's not their title. They call themselves Tennesseans for Prosperity or something along those lines. I can't remember the exact name. But they're running ads on the radio shows talking about how great Common Core is and how we got it past Common Core to be competitive, blah, 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 blah. Well, the Tennesseans Against Common Core, they've raised some money and they're continuing to raise money, and they're running spots to counter this. And so far, the only one that I know of that has recorded one is Karen Bracken. But I just want to play that for everybody. Just let them hear it. And then I'll tell you how you can help out with this if you're interested. So here it goes.
Did you know in 2010, our legislators voted to apply for Race to the Top, which included an assault on traditional public schools and teachers, new common standards and assessments, and increased data collection on our children without ever looking at the application and without ever reviewing those standards? Many Tennesseans are not aware of the truth behind Race to the Top. The new standards were never tested, and they were never internationally benchmarked as promised. Furthermore, there was no evaluation of the new standards to ensure they were developmentally age-appropriate. We need to call our state legislators and demand they repeal Common Core standards. They need to undo the damage they did by casting an uninformed vote. Rest assured, Tennessee parents, grandparents, and teachers will not be casting an uninformed vote this November. To help in the fight against Common Core, join Tennessee Against Common Core. Register at tnacc.net. That's tnacc.net.
And that was Karen Bracken with Tennesseans Against Common Core. And if you want to send a donation, and just give you an idea of what this costs, at 101.3, that's, I think, out of Cleveland, during the Glenn Beck Show for 5 days a week at the end of each hour, it's $18 per spot, okay, $18 per spot. So you're looking for $540, looking at $540 for the week. 99.7, that's in Nashville, for each hour of the Del Giorno Show, 3 hours, 5 days a week, 30 spots at $130 per spot. That's $3,900. So it's a good cause. If, you know, you want to get the word out about stopping Common Core and about the problems, then you might want to consider donating. And you can go to the site and get the information, but I can also tell you that if you send a check to William Bracken, 231 Bob White Drive, Ocoee, Tennessee, 37361, you can do that as well. So also, there's a postcard initiative. If you get on the Tennesseans Against Common Core website, there's postcards that you can send your reps, or postcards you can send directly to Governor Haslam, telling him to end Common Core. So those are some good causes. I mentioned David Fowler a little bit earlier. I don't know if I have time to read this before I have to read the next liner there, but I'm just going to touch on this a little bit. And this is written by David Fowler from the Family Action Council of Tennessee. Demeaning Tennesseans and destroying the Constitution. Has anyone ever called you irrational, unreasonable, or illogical in front of others? If not, imagine they have. How do you feel? Disrespected? Demeaned? If so, then a majority of Tennesseans should feel that way because a federal judge essentially said that about us last week. Sadly, he didn't realize how illogical and unreasonable his own statement was, and because he is not alone in his thinking, we are in deep trouble. The person in question is Federal District Court Judge John Hayburn, who ruled last week that Kentucky's law defining marriage as one man and one woman was unconstitutional. The reason you as a Tennessean should care is that what he said is as equally directed at Tennesseans as to Kentuckians. That is so because our law is essentially the same as Kentucky's. Secondly, and most important, because his ruling was based upon the U.S. Constitution and the law of the land. I'd have to disagree with David there. It's based on this judge's interpretation of the U.S. Constitution. The judge began his analysis by stating that a law defining marriage as a man between as a marriage as between one man and one woman can be constitutional only if that law has a legitimate purpose, and the means chosen to effectuate that purpose are rationally related to that purpose. The asserted purpose or objective of the law was to promote and encourage responsible procreation and childbearing, steering naturally procreative relationships into stable unions, and promoting the optimal childbearing environment. And it was believed that a law defining marriage as between a man and a woman was a reasonable way to accomplish those purposes. But according to Judge Habern, there is no rational basis for thinking these interests are legitimate. And even if these purposes or objectives are legitimate ones for a state to have, Judge Habern said no reasonable person could believe that those objectives could be furthered by defining marriage as a relationship between a man and a woman. In other words, if you're one of the 81% of Tennessee voters who approved our constitutional definition of marriage, and one of the 64% of Tennesseans who in a poll released last week said they still think marriage is between a man and a woman, then Judge Habern does not believe you are a reasonable person capable of rational thought. Now, there's a whole lot more to this. I'm not going to read the whole article, but it's coming. This is coming to Tennessee. And, you know, talk about states needing to stand up. I don't care what a federal judge says. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. The fight is now at our state level. Do we have the leaders that will stand up to the federal government and say, no, we're not accepting this. You're not putting this on us. If they won't stand up for this, I'd like to know what they'll stand up for. So remember, D.C. is a lost cause, can only be repaired or replaced by the states standing up and demanding it. States are not going to do that unless we, the citizens of our state, demand that they do it. We hold them accountable. All right, I've got to do a quick read here, and then we'll get back to this topic. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We were talking a minute ago about this federal judge in Kentucky who ruled the Kentucky marriage law unconstitutional, and it's just like our law. So it's just a matter of time before not the will of the people prevails here, but the will of the judges, unless enough of the people can get their state to stand up. And see, that's the thing. You know, think about it. You always hear the excuse, well, that's the federal government, and we have to do what they say. No, we don't have to do what they say. We have to do what they say that's constitutional. And by the way, judges were never intended to be the sole entity that determines constitutionality. Never. But that is a fight that we are going to have, and we have to force them. Remember, our state reps, they take an oath to uphold both the federal and the state constitution. As I see it, they're doubly responsible. You know, D.C. does something stupid, does something unconstitutional, immoral, irrational. They're the ones who need to be stepping up to the plate and saying, buddy, we're not taking it. Now, you're not going to get that in Tennessee right now, especially with the worthless governor we have. And, yes, I said worthless, absolutely worthless. The man is an oxygen thief. And if it wasn't for his money, he could never have been elected governor, absolutely never have been elected a governor. Matter of fact, you could say that we have a representative of Pilot Oil as our governor. That's what we have. Okay, we do not have anybody who's even vaguely familiar with the U.S. or the state constitution. So we're going to have to force our state reps and our state senators to first stand up to the governor. They got to stand up to the governor so that we can have our state stand up to the feds. All right, we're up against the heart. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, our first guest is with us. That's Brandon Dodd. He's running for state senate, the 27th district here in the state of Tennessee. And we'll talk with Brandon about his campaign and maybe pick his brain a little bit about some of these issues. So don't go away. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we have Brandon Dodd with us. He is Senate candidate for the 27th District here in Tennessee. And Brandon, how are you tonight?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on. So tell us a little bit about you. Give everybody a little background about yourself.
Well, I'm an optometrist from New Bern, Tennessee. I'm Dr. Brandon Dodd. I'm married for about 15 years. I have three sons, and I'm a constitutional conservative. I feel like we have to reestablish states' rights and take our states' rights back, and we can solve a lot of issues when we do that.
No argument here. We were just talking about that a minute ago.
But sure, the 10th Amendment is there, even though it's been ignored for many, many years, but it's still there, and it says any power not specifically designated to the federal government belongs to the state government or the people. And so when we're talking about Obamacare or Common Core, No Child Left Behind, the federal intrusion and, killing our school systems, by law, by constitutional law, those are states' rights and not federal rights. All we have to do is say no, and we need to be elected constitutional conservative state reps and state senators who will stand up for those rights instead of sending the people like we're establishing people to Nashville. We've got to send and elect good constitutional conservative, state congressmen. We've got the answers in our own hands. We're sitting on our hands and we're not doing anything about it. And that's the travesty, that we've got those rights. Tennesseans are born to live free. We're doing ourselves a disservice by kind of electing the establishment people. That's why.
Let me ask you something. Well, good. I got two questions for you. And
sure.
I said this a minute ago, and it's just something that's kind of been spinning around in my head for the last, couple weeks. We want smaller government. We want the state to have more control. And we want the states to stand up to the federal government. Now, notice I'm saying stand up to the federal government. We're not talking about breaking away. We're talking about standing up and making sure that the Constitution is enforced. Since the feds have pretty much shown us they're not going to follow it unless they're forced to follow it. I kind of see state representatives and state senators as being doubly responsible because, if I'm not mistaken, their oath requires them to uphold both the federal and the state constitution. Yeah. So you could say that they're doubly responsible, doubly to blame. I mean,
sure.
that's kind of the way I'm headed because, until we get a hold of them and say, look, I don't want to hear the word, I can't help it, it's the federal government, come out of your mouth. I want, you signed up for this. You get in there and fight. You get in there and say no. And if you have to, you get in there and say hell no.
Or get
but
out of the way.
In there and do something. Yeah, exactly.
Either lead
exactly.
or get out of the way. You know, I had a, you know, I go around giving speeches, you know, to Reagan Day dinners and other conservative groups, and I had a state rep run up to me afterwards and say, I believe everything you said. He said, we've got to stand up for state rights. I said, I've never heard anybody put it that well. You know, then he goes back to Nashville and same old.
So the difference in you and him is that you believe it, and you
I believe
will try
it, yes,
and do
sir,
it
with all my heart. And we've got to do it. Because so you know, the way our it was designed, the way our founding fathers designed our government was that you know the federal government was designed to protect our borders, to control the military, and interstate commerce. And but what they meant by interstate commerce was just basically that we used a standard weights and measures, and that we didn't have tariffs in between the states, not the
right.
three-headed monster that they've got it now. And other social issues were left to the states. You know, and so that's what – it shouldn't be a life or death situation when we elect a president because, you know, constitutionally, they don't have the right to run gay marriage down our throats. They don't have the right to screw up our schools. You know, we need to be electing people that can stand up because that's the way it was designed to do. We just – like I said, we've been asleep at the wheel. I believe someone said we always get the government – people get the government they deserve, and I guess that's right, you know. We're electing these people. We're following the money and not people that stand up for our rights.
Yeah, you get the government you allow.
Right.
And,
you know,
now,
we see that around the world, like in Ukraine. You know, they stood up for what they believed in. They got rid of a president. And then here in the United States, we've got an imperial president throwing out executive orders left and right, and we just the people and our elected officials are just kind of sitting on their hands and watching it happen.
Yeah, they're saying, oh, well, we got to win the Senate in 2014 and take the presidency in 2016, as if elections are the only part of the Constitution that mean anything that matter at all. It's like, okay, they can violate the rest of the Constitution because they're elected.
Right.
And you just have to accept that. That seems to be the mantra. That's what I hear coming out of the GOP. Hey, elections have consequences, guys. We tried to tell you. Well, hey, buddy, guess what? There's nothing that says that you get to abdicate your responsibility to uphold the Constitution. Nothing. Just because they won the election doesn't mean you don't still have an oath to uphold.
Absolutely right. You know, we could put a mule in your seat and do a better job of finding these executive orders and stuff like that. You know, we've got to elect good people. And I believe, honestly, I believe it's more important at this point in the game to elect good people at the state level than the federal level. I think the federal government is so broken. You could put Joe Carr in there instead of Lamar Alexander, and sure, he's going to fight where Lamar's always famously retreating. But at the state level, you know, that's what the great patriot Patrick Henry always declined to go to the U.S. Senate, the U.S. House of Representatives. He stayed at the state level, the governorship, the state legislature, because he understood states' rights. He understood the importance of standing up for those rights, because if you lose them, it's tough to get them back, which we've proven.
Yep. Well, let me ask you something. So it's January 2015, and State Senator Brandon Dodd from the 27th District is now in office. What are the first three things he wants to deal with?
Well, we've got to establish states' rights first and foremost, because I'm also very pro-life. I believe we've got to stop the genocide against our unborn. And I also believe we have to reduce the I have a small businessman as well. And I can tell you that we've got to fix the economy, and the way to do that, you know, always, you know, the mantra is jobs, jobs, jobs are here from both sides. What you don't understand is what's killing business is our tax codes. When you start, say if you've got a great idea and a great work ethic and you go in and you open your own business, you're immediately going to start paying payroll taxes, workman's comp taxes, Social Security taxes, income taxes, sales taxes, franchise and excise taxes, property taxes. Our tax codes are designed to crush businesses and drive them out of business, and they're designed to punish you horribly for hiring employees. And if you streamline and reduce those, we can make Tennessee an economic juggernaut. People can go overseas like they're doing now, or they can come to Tennessee to escape those horrific taxes, which also come, the most maddening part is they also all have a concurrent big government bureaucracy that you have to follow rules, mandates, and these ludicrous paperwork that you got to do. And so, you know, we've got so much work to do across the board in Tennessee.
Okay, so I heard the life issue, which hopefully will be taken care of, or at least initially taken care of.
Well, the referendum just makes us neutral.
Right, it makes us neutral, and it gives the legislators the opportunity to enact some, restrictions on abortion. It does not implement any. It does not come with any. It just says, hey, it is not
a
constitutional. Back to square one, back like it used to be before 2000. So obviously you would enact some strong pro-life legislation. You mentioned taxes. Now, could you do enough at the state level? Could you, in terms of
if you establish states' rights, then yes. If we don't establish,
okay.
Well, the first thing we have to do is reestablish the right of the states that they are sovereign in their own states, outside of the military, and they can't put taxes on a. Goods coming from Kentucky or Alabama or things like that. Once you understand,
right.
Once we reestablish that we're in charge in Tennessee and not the federal government, big brother, then yes, we can do things.
So would be the first thing that you would do maybe is some sort of legislation on the Commerce Clause, basically saying, hey, look, we are going to follow the original intent of the Commerce Clause, not the version that took hold in the 1930s under FDR.
Right.
Or under the court at the time. Okay.
Yep.
So that would be, you've got your economic growth plan is tied to the state standing up for the under the 10th
sure.
Amendment.
But if you get out of the way of small businessmen and women, entrepreneurs, our country was built on a good work ethic, capitalism, and free enterprise. And those, I believe in all my heart, those principles will still work. We've just got to, return to those, and you'll see our economy thrive and turn around.
All right, give me a third one.
But as far as, I would like to get the federal government out of schools. And
no Common Core. Goodbye,
Common Core.
Oh,
absolutely not. No Common Core, no child left behind. This whole teach to the test mentality they're slamming our teachers with. We've got good teachers.
Yeah.
They're teaching with both hands behind their backs.
Yeah.
And immigration control as well. We've got to stop the illegal immigration crisis.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, that's another thing that just enrages me. And I was reading an article earlier today about some guy from South Carolina who was apparently he was elected as a Tea Party guy, and now he's kind of testing the waters on what kind of amnesty, could be acceptable.
There's no amnesty that's acceptable because, they're here illegally. And if we give amnesty to all the people that are here illegally, I don't think people realize what a calamity that would be. Because right now, as far as electoral calamity, you'll never see another conservative. We haven't seen a conservative elected in a long time. But if we give amnesty to illegal immigrants, you've lost Texas. And if you lose Texas, there's no mathematical way you'll never see another conservative president in our lifetime.
Yeah, well, because they already have California. They've already got California.
So they got New York, California, then they got Texas. So amnesty is a death sentence to conservatives. And so anybody that you hear saying, hey, amnesty is on the table, then don't support that candidate.
I wouldn't. I'm with you there 100%. I think we need to make our state as unfriendly to illegals as possible. That's another thing right there. That's kind of like an unfunded mandate because there are Supreme Court rulings, for instance, that, that's the reason we can't keep them out of our schools. They're here illegally.
Well, I believe any time you present for government services, whether it be Social Security, health care, anything like that, you should be proven to be a United States citizen first. There's no reason.
I'm with you.
Like my grandfather, combat veteran in World War II, paid Social Security his whole life, 15% of everything he's made. He's living at the poverty level. Then you've got people that have been here 2 weeks. They're getting all the government services. They've got food. They've got money. They've got a free cell phone. They've got money to burn.
Oh, yeah.
And he's put
his
whole life into our country, defended our country, and we've turned our back on our veterans and our elderly people. And, it's just the system's upside down. It's laughable, and we've got to fix these things.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we're up against a hard break. It's going to be a couple minutes long, and when we come back, we'll talk some more. Matter of fact, Maybe we'll talk a little bit actually about your race, see how that's shaping up. But don't go away. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media, and we'll be right back after this short break.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. As governors from around the country will tell you, Congress is a dysfunctional body made up of egomaniacs who fight with each other and get nothing done. Governors are different. They're the ones with integrity who cooperate and work across the aisle to help their states. Or as Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin put it today during a press conference outside the White House,
as governors, we don't sit around and do partisan bickering.
Apparently, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal and Connecticut counterpart Dan Malloy didn't get the message about civility. Right after Shumlin finished speaking, Jindal stepped to the podium and blasted President Obama's proposal to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 per hour.
The Obama economy is now the minimum wage economy. I think we can do better than that. I think America can do better than that.
That prompted Malloy to respond.
That's the most insane statement I've ever heard.
After a long weekend in Washington, maybe it's time for the governors to head home. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Brandon Dodd, Senate candidate for the 27th District of Tennessee. And let's talk a little bit about your campaign, Brandon. How's it going out there?
It's going really, really well. You know, we've got we're fighting for an open seat. The Democrat, they redistricted us 2 years ago, and it went from being a – they took away some liberal counties and added some ultra-conservative counties, so the Democrat decided – he couldn't get elected at that point. He had higher aspirations. He didn't want to lose on his record. So it's me and one other candidate. Right now there's no declared Democrat in the race. There's just two Republicans. I'm kind of going against an establishment candidate that's well-moneyed. But our message is you know, people hear the states' rights, the Tenth Amendment. Most of them are unfamiliar with it. And it's just they're floored that we've got these rights and we're not standing up for it. So it's just an overwhelming message that when you get out and get that message out there, we're getting a tremendous response. And right now it's neck and neck, you know, money versus message, and we're doing very, very well. We got tons of volunteers, and so I'm very proud of the work we're doing. I think we got a real good shot, and I think we're going to win it.
Now, who are you running against?
A gentleman named Ed Jackson.
Ed Jackson, funded by Jimmy Wallace. Yeah, Jimmy Wallace.
Yes.
That's one of Jimmy's boys. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And remember, Jimmy brought us Stephen Fincher. That's really worked out so well. He plowed Congress so well for us, didn't he?
And he's got some other state reps and senators that he works with, too. So.
Yeah. So, now, have you guys actually had a debate yet, or have you guys just spoken
No,
at...
No, we haven't. We've spoken at events, you know, back-to-back on that. So we've really done well at those comparatively. We've challenged him to debate, and the last time he spoke, he took some questions, and somebody heckled him about a debate, and he said he probably would but he wouldn't commit to it. And that's the last we've heard of that.
Ah, hey, I'd keep beating him up on that. I mean, you guys, he ought to be willing to debate, especially, you know.
Well, to me, if
this is a primary.
Right. You know, if you're going to get into politics and represent your constituents and the people of Tennessee, you've got to be able to put forth your ideas and, you know, politics is a contact sport. You're going to get out there and fight
yeah.
for what you believe in. If you're not capable of doing that or willing to do that, then maybe that's not for you. Maybe you're not ready to represent people, in my opinion. And so, I'll debate anytime. Any venue, any format. It's just because I believe in what I stand for, and I'm not ashamed of that, and I'm willing to articulate.
Now let me ask you something. Now, you ran in 2010 for governor as an independent, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you know I voted for you. I didn't know a whole lot about you. I actually called you up and talked to you because I originally supported Ramsey, and when he didn't get it. I'm like, I'm not voting for Bill Haslam. I'm just not going to do it. And so I'm like, well, I don't want to just vote for somebody I don't know. So I called you up, and we had a conversation, and I figured out where you were at on everything. And I'm like, well, the guy probably doesn't have a good shot, but you know what? I'm not going to vote for Bill Haslam, and I agree with what I hear this guy saying, so I voted for you. But so here's my question, though. Was that the first time you had ran for office? And if so, you know, why did you run for governor?
Well, I was swinging for the fence. So, well, you know, Obamacare was coming up. You know, I felt like Haslam had definitely the most money in the race. I wanted absolutely to give a constitutional conservative choice. I knew he was a member of anti-gun group. I've never even heard of a Tennessean being a member of anti-gun group. I felt like if he came out of the primary and you could stand up and get that message out there, then you'd have a chance. But I also wanted to, in the debating process and the forums that you're able to get into, spread the message on the 10th Amendment and states' rights. And I was able to debate then Mayor, now Governor Haslam in Gatlinburg, and he said plainly he wouldn't stand up for the 10th Amendment. And we just destroyed him in that debate, and that was the last time we were to debate. But I knew then, when he said he wouldn't do that, I knew what we were up against. But like I said, without that money, without some money, I don't know that people were ready to not vote for a D or R at that time.
Well, now, wait a minute here. Hold on. So, all right, you won that debate.
Oh, that was – it wasn't close. I mean, there was probably 350 in the room.
They kept that one out of the press, obviously.
Yes, it didn't see the light of day on that.
Did he actually
as a campaign across the state, it was kind of mythical – or not mythical, but I mean, I would run into people all over the state, and they said, "Oh, we saw you in that debate. We saw you in that debate." And 500 people. There wasn't that many people in the room, but they were all, a lot of people got excited about that because it was when somebody stands up and say, "Hey, they won't stand up for the 10th Amendment. They won't protect our rights." That's a big deal.
Do you have that video? Do you have that on video?
Yeah, it's on the internet. As far as yes, sir. But, Ramsey was in there, Womp, me and two other independents, and also, was it Kirkpatrick?
Yeah, I think so.
You remember?
Yeah.
He was in that debate as well. Yes, sir, that's out there.
Okay, I'll have to, and that was in Chattanooga?
Gatlinburg. That was in Gatlinburg.
Gatlinburg. I'm going to look that thing up. That's, because I tell you what, I guess we're stuck with him. But he's not as popular as he was. I don't think he ever really had the numbers that they tried to claim that he had just a few months ago in terms of popularity. He's just got money. That's all he's got, which is, in reality, that's really a sad statement for our state. That really is that, because with no pilot, if there was no pilot, there would be no Bill Haslam. And money, apparently, here's the problem with the establishment Republicans right now in Tennessee. And I'm not talking about the conservatives, but I'm talking about the establishment Republicans. They are exactly what the Democrats always claimed they were. Just greedy guys who care about nothing but money. Nothing but money. Now, the Democrats are communists, okay? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the GOP is the establishment GOP. They are every bit as addicted to money and motivated by money as the Democrats always claimed they were. So it's pretty sad. It's pretty sad because this supermajority is not really super.
Right. We've got the governor. The Republicans have the House and the Senate. We should be accomplishing some great things.
Oh yeah.
And we're just not. We're spinning our wheels.
Yeah, and they do everything they can, especially in the Senate side, because that's where, I believe that's where he decided, well, it's easier to control 33 than it
is
99.
That's where bills go to die.
Yeah, and what are we getting out of it? What are we getting out of this supermajority? We may get some business-friendly stuff, and don't get me wrong, I'm all for business, but that is not the only purpose of government. We have rights that they're supposed to look out for and defend, and they're not doing that. And so I'm really disgusted. Disgusted nationally to the point that I'm convinced that the only way the country can be restored is when the states decide they've had enough and force the federal government's hand to do the right thing.
Right. So, I think there's one state to stand up and do that. And then certainly all the other southern states would follow with states' rights. Southerners have always been states' rights, supporters. And once you establish that precedent, it changes the whole dynamic. Once we're living under a constitutional republic again and not the situation we're living in, this country can achieve great. It can get back. Who thought, when I was little, 39 years ago, that we'd be facing the difficulties we're facing now? If you'd have told me, when I was a kindergartner, I thought we'd hands down living in the greatest, most free country in the world. How do we let it get to this point? I don't know. But we've got to reestablish states' rights. We've got to get back to the constitutional principles that made our country great.
Yeah. Well, I really believe that if it's not 10, it's going to be 2. It'll be the 10th or it'll be the 2nd. So hopefully it'll be the 10th.
Well, the Second Amendment is, everything is based on the Second Amendment because that's where we defend our liberty. Benjamin Franklin said democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to eat for supper. But liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the election. And, you've got to be able to – if you can't protect yourself and protect your liberty, then, you're a subject. You're not a citizen.
Yep, exactly. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger-flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And, Kurt, you're still with us, so do you have any questions for Brandon or comments?
Actually, no, Dave. I'm involved in about three things all at one time here, except I'll just say, Brandon, FYI, I voted for you too, brother. And I hope you have immensely better luck in this campaign than the way the last one turned out. And I believe you will. I mean, you're starting at the level that is most likely, I think, to work better for you than, and I understand what you said about why you started there. Everybody's got to be somewhere. But anyway, I think you've moved into the right slot now, and I wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we'll be crossing paths.
Oh, sounds good. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now, Brandon, what kind of doctor are you?
Optometrist. I'm an eye doctor.
Okay.
Tell people see.
Now, so... Hopefully they'll see the light.
Yes, sir.
See the light and vote for Brandon. Yeah. Now, have you been impacted yet by Obamacare in your business?
Well, we're impacted daily by the federal government in health care. So,
yeah.
We get about three to 5,000 new rules every 3 months from the federal government.
Oh, Lord.
In a CD-ROM.
There's no way you can even attempt to keep up with that.
Well, that's what we call the criminalization of your health care provider. There's any health care provider in the United States at any one time They can kick down your door and accuse you of Medicare fraud. Because if you use the wrong color ink, if your filing cabinet is stored in the wrong location, of all those rules, the hundreds of thousands of rules, I've never seen one that benefits the patient or the doctor see patients. They're all procedural issues that if you don't follow to the letter, it's Medicare fraud. And so people say, what do doctors fear most? It's not lawsuits from malpractice. It is the federal government, trust me. So I don't know what to tell you. You know, Obamacare will make that much worse.
Yeah.
But it's so bad now. Like this you may not be familiar with the ICD-10 crisis that's looming with healthcare. Right now, doctors practice under ICD-9 codes. And, there's tens of thousands of them, but you know what they are. They're trying to ram in an ICD-10 coding system on us, where I think it goes up to 400,000 or 500,000 codes. Say if you get kicked by a donkey, they want to know which leg the donkey kicked you on, if the donkey was drunk and stuff like that. It's a labyrinth of a huge puzzle book on how to code something. If you get pecked in the eye by a bird, you seriously got to code what type of bird. Was it a mockingbird? Was it a finch? Stuff like that.
Hey, we got another caller I want to go to here real quick.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't taking up too much.
You're fine. Caller, you have a question or a comment? Hello?
Yes, hello? Hello?
Yes, you have a question or comment? Hello?
I'm a 16-year-old high school student, and I wrote a piece about Common Core.
Oh, I'd like to hear it. Great. How long is it?
It's probably a few minutes, maybe 2-3 minutes.
Okay, well, I tell you what. Can you hold with us? I'll take a quick break. You know what? These are optional. Never mind. Go ahead and read it. Let's hear it.
Okay. As a high school student, I'm always looking for an opportunity to learn and better myself through education. Except when I'm being forced to throw out my own way of learning and thinking and replace it with someone else's. What I'm talking about is Common Core. Common Core is a set of standards basically preparing students for the next grade level. In October, at a Department of Education meeting, one of the authors of the Common Core State Standards stated, "If you do this work, then you're ready for college." Meaning that you'll get into college because of some state standards that no one even knows anything about. Let me, as a student, educate you in my own research of Common Core. Common Core was created by several teachers, administrators, experts, and even some parents. According to a blog and several other websites, the CCSS, which is Common Core State Standards, demands that students do more research and evidence-based learning to prepare for the work that colleges and employers expect. Another website also stated, although it does not specify which classic books cannot be read, the Common Core contains a chart that explains that in fourth grade, students must cut their reading, their classic or fiction reading to 50%. By 12th grade, students must reduce their classic or fiction reading to 30%, with informational text taking up 70% of time spent reading. So a Common Core standard is now telling our students which books we can and cannot read. If we cannot read hardly any classic or fiction books, then where for school, if not in the belly of Moby Dick or not on the wooden raft of Huckleberry Finn, can we run away to? The Common Core standards were created by the Council of Chief State Schools Officers and the National Governors Association. So apparently these two departments know what's best for thousands of students statewide. Although most states did adopt these standards, does that still mean that education should be a national decision? Under the Constitution, states have their own rights for their education. The government should no longer be even thought of when it comes to a state decision. I mean, would you rather make a choice upon someone else's thoughts and feelings than your own? Some websites indicate that one of the main reasons for Common Core standards is so that if students have to move and transition into another school, that the student can transition smoothly because every school will hopefully be on the same schedule. The good thing about being a good student is that you can change subjects easily without risk of failing. It isn't the teacher's fault or the wrong curriculum if the student falls behind. In most schools across the country, students are held responsible for his or her own work. There seems to have been a little bribery to Common Core. A competition called Race to the Top sent out grants to winning states that applied. Education Secretary Arne Duncan had made assenting to the Common Core standards a Race to the Top application requirement. Adoption of the standards now earn a winning state extra points on its application, which then applications are reviewed by the U.S. Department of Education. Adopting these standards will force states to amend their own standardized tests to fit in with those standards. A good question I'd like someone to answer would be, why are you making us students do so much more work? We can no longer answer simple questions with a simple answer. Everything from now on will be more complex and harder than it needs to be. There have been many successful people that have never once been asked to provide a minimum 10 pages to a simple question of 2 plus 2 equals what? There's no need for Common Core besides making those who are smart look stupid and uneducated. This is our student's future, and it is not for the Council of Chief State School Officers nor the National Governors Association to decide what we do with our bright potential. Students, concerned parents, and misguided people don't stand for something that makes no sense and tests your intelligence. Stand for something that benefits not only you but everyone else around you. I fear for the futures of the younger students as they make their ways into higher education. The reason being is that they will be more subjected to change the way they think, act, or even respond. Common Core is trying to make all students think in the same way, their way. Students are an experiment to Common Core standards. Sorry, that's my dog. They do not know what all this extra stress to get things done their way will do. They do not know the impact of taking tests where we have to expertly explain in depth an answer to a simple question. They do not know anything about us students individually, so instead they are categorizing all of us in one section, one label, and one mind. They do not know the effect that these standards have or are having on us students. My conclusion is, get rid of Common Core or lose thousands of dedicated students.
Excellent. Excellent. Hey, I think you've got an education advisor for the youth vote out there, Brandon. Of course, you're only 16. You can't vote yet, but that's – what do you think, Brandon? So Common Core, I mean, how high is that on your list? Hey, by the way, Carrie, that was excellent, excellent. I'm glad
Thank
to
you.
Hear that there are some young kids who think along those lines and who can actually write good. I'll tell you what, I received something from a high school student earlier this week on a constitutional issue, and it was kind of scary. I'll just leave it at that. But, hey, I appreciate you calling in, and thanks for that great read there. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Keep up the good work. We need people like you.
Okay.
Brandon, I'm sorry to cut into your time here, but
enjoyed it. She did a great job. I'm proud of her.
Yeah. So Common Core, how high is that on your list of dealing with?
Oh, it's right up there. I mean, it's got to be stopped. I see it. I've got twin 6-year-olds and a 10-year-old. And my 14-year-old, when they do multiplication, they don't teach it the simple way anymore. It's got to take up page after page. And if you do it the quick way, the simple way, they want to see all your work with your squares and things like this. It's ludicrous. I mean, I can't express how frustrating it is that the teachers are having to teach something that's not a. Simple and direct. Sometimes the easiest way can be the best way, and we've seen it already.
Yeah.
And it's just we've got to get back to, you're a parent, and when we're parents, and the local educators, they have the best interest of the school. They know their students.
Yep.
And we've got to get the federal government out of our school system.
Yeah.
Speaking of Common Core, it's not proven itself to be good at anything really, other than collecting.
No, they haven't. They have. Speaking of Common Core, and then we're going to have to go here in a second, but the Teacher of the Year in Tennessee is a guy named Cal Mallory, a friend of mine. Cal Mallory lives here in Stewart County, and he is the Teacher of the Year, and he is adamantly opposed to Common Core. So hopefully we'll be hearing a little more from Kyle here. I think I'm going to have him on, if not next week, the week after that. So, well, Brandon, anything you'd like to say before you go?
I just thank you for the opportunity. I really think we've got a good shot at winning, and appreciate everybody. If anybody's listening in Dyer Lake, Lauderdale, Crockett, or Madison County, get in touch with me. Please support me. And I will absolutely fight for our constitutional rights in the state Senate. And I appreciate you very much.
And hey, thanks for coming on. I definitely want to have you back. And if you can get the other guy to agree to come on and do a debate, we'll do one on the radio. But I'd also like to say to everybody out there, even if you're not in Brandon's district, you need to support him because guess what? May Beavers need some allies up there, okay?
She needs reinforcements.
We need some people up there that will fight. So even if he's not in your district, he's a conservative that will fight for the 10th Amendment, you might want to think about sending him a few dollars. All right, Brandon, hey, thanks again for being with us, and we'll have you back real soon. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. All right, now our next guest is Mike Warner. He's running for the 67th District here in Montgomery County for the House seat there, currently held by Joe Pitts. How are you doing tonight, Mike?
Great, Dave. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. How's the campaign going?
Well, we're moving along, as you know, pretty good here. Kind of excited about it. I think we've got an excellent shot of changing the parameters up there in Nashville and get a lot more constitutionally minded people up there. And I tell people repeatedly, you know, you don't vote party, you vote the person. You vote the person that is really constitutional and isn't going to get his legs cut out from under. You're going to find a lot. In 2012, we saw a whole lot of folks, and I watched it too. I was involved as a write-in at that time for District 67 as a Republican, and I watched some very, very excellent conservative, constitutionally minded people get their legs cut out from under them by the GOP. And I don't believe 2014 is going to be any different. So, you know, support the Constitution Party candidates, because after they get through and off all the conservatives in the GOP at the legs, you'll still have somebody to vote for.
And for those of you who have forgotten, GOP stands for Gang of Progressives. Okay, maybe at one time it was Grand Ole Party, but it's now Gang of Progressives. And, of course, that's a cleaned-up version. You can replace that P with whatever you want. Anyway, how many candidates are running under the Constitution Party banner this year? Do you know, Mike?
Well, a lot of them haven't announced yet. We're in a little bit different position because we don't have to go through a primary. Our candidates are selected in a convention because we don't believe that the state of Tennessee should have to pay for deciding who's going to be on our ballot.
You know, I agree with that 100%. I don't think the taxpayers should have to pay for party primaries. I think that should be a party responsibility.
Absolutely, absolutely, and so we don't do that. First time we show up on the ballot will be during the general election in November. That also means you know, if you're thinking about running out there and you want to run with better odds that you won't get your legs cut off by the GOP, you might consider the Constitution Party. But I have to warn you, you're going to be vetted. You're going to have to sign an agreement that says that you'll vote according to the Constitution and keep your oath of office. And if you don't, you lose your party credentials. So you have to mean it, not just say it, in the Constitution Party.
You know, you mentioned a minute ago about the conservative Republicans that ran last time, and they were basically undercut by the establishment. A matter of fact, somebody that ran in the Clarksville area, Montgomery County, Humphreys, and I think Houston, you know, Lori Day ran for one of the other seats. And, you know, at the end, she didn't get a lot of support from the establishment Republicans. And at the end, if I remember correctly, Montgomery County GOP bragged at the end of the election, which when she lost to a Democrat, that they had still had $16,000 in their fund.
And one-tenth of that would have taken her over the line. She didn't lose by that many votes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
so they would have rather seen, and here's what gets me. You know, what does the establishment always tell you when it comes to, you know, hey, you know, we know this guy's not as conservative as we'd like, but he's our party's guy, and he's better than a Democrat, you know, and blah, 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 and, you know, You want to support him to keep the Dem out. But guess what?
Yeah.
The establishment does not play by those rules.
Part of the reason that they ganged up on Lori is because she beat out their anointed dude.
Yeah.
Okay. they had carved out that district specifically for the guy that they were going to run and did, you know, were running and had anointed. And when he didn't get it, they basically, I think they gave her like $500. They gave me $200, and I was a write-in.
The guy they vetted that they didn't, the guy that they carved the district out for that they didn't vet very well, by the way.
That's right. That's right. He had more stuff wrong than Carter had little liver pills, if you're old enough to remember that. But there, I'll tell you, though, on the federal level, there is a difference between Democrats and Republicans. The difference is that Democrats drive the agenda and the Republicans fund it.
Yeah. Mike, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Let's assume that you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com. You're conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins. Hey, we're up against a hard break, but don't go away. We'll be right back in just a minute.
I'm gonna live and die in cowboy town.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in, don't drive drunk.
And I got a three-letter word for you, as in, get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7166, and we're talking with Mike Warner. He's a Constitution Party candidate from the 67th District here in Tennessee. And, Mike, you know, you're talking a minute ago about how hard it is to be a conservative in Tennessee in terms of actually getting party support. It's even harder being in a third party, being part of a minor party here in Tennessee. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, actually, I don't consider us a third party. We're not a third party. We're a new party. You've only got one other party, and that's the Progressive Party. I think you already sort of mentioned that. I've tended to start calling them the big party, okay? But we consider ourselves a second party because both of them run in lockstep. But I would like to mention that our meeting, the Constitution Party of Montgomery County in Tennessee, meets on the last Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. at Campbell's 555 Dover Road in Clarksville. So if you can't make it to the 8th District meeting over there, you might want to make ours. We'd love to see you there. But it's been very difficult. Early on, before the 1960s, they made it difficult for minor parties to operate, trying to prevent the communist parties from springing up. Tennessee didn't have anything, though, legally prohibiting minor parties until 1961. And at that time, the Democrat Party was in control. They started placing extensive limitations on minor party ballot access at that time. Now, Daniel Lewis has uncovered an 8-minute original floor debate when that law was passed in 1961. And if you go to YouTube and search for Tennessee Minor Party Suppression, it pops up number one on the list. So I'd check that out. He did some slides to go with it. And you'll get to hear exactly what the floor debate was talking about. And they specifically said that the purpose of the bill was to keep minor parties from affiliating or associating one with each other based on a party on the ballot, which is a violation of our First Amendment rights. It's there, and you can hear the audio. It's been cleaned up professionally, so you could hear it. It was pretty noisy when he found it in the archives. But
who's Daniel Lewis?
He is in out of Nashville. He's a libertarian. I believe he's running for a state office as well, but I forget which one.
Now, what did you say that the legislation initially, that the purpose of that was?
The purpose was very specifically to prevent people from forming minor parties and associating with each other and to be on the ballot under the name. It's basically branding. It was to prevent branding. That's not what they called it. But that's you have a First Amendment right to associate freely with people peaceably, and when you have a party attached to you, then there's certain assumptions that people make about what you stand for, what you believe in, and how you'll act once you're in office. The purpose of these laws was to prevent people from knowing those things when they came to the ballot about minor parties, and only the Democrat and Republican parties were allowed to have their names on the ballot, basically because they required something that was impossible to do. They required originally 5%, and then they dropped it to 2.5% of the last governor's race for the whole state for a candidate to be on the ballot. This past November, they tried to do that to a Libertarian candidate in Shelby County, required 40,000 42 or something like that signatures to get on the ballot there for a special election because the representative had passed away, and he took it to the Sixth Circuit judge, I'm not sure which judge, but he got it. They said no, that's not the way it's going to work because we've got an ongoing lawsuit twice. The Tennessee laws have been ruled unconstitutional. So,
let me ask you something. Okay, so the current law has been ruled unconstitutional by a federal judge, right?
That's right, twice.
Okay, so.
And they're appealing.
Okay, obviously. All right, so they've appealed both times. What was different on their second appeal from the first appeal? I'm just curious. And what grounds did they appeal anyway? What was their grounds for appeal?
Well, they had made some changes, but it wasn't substantial changes. They had made some changes that they thought would fix it, but the judge didn't think so, and so they're appealing the federal judge on the basis of that. But they haven't won anything. I've checked up. I've done an account that allows me to check on any federal lawsuit and the status of it and what has been filed and every piece of paper in it, and they haven't won anything. They made a comment that they had in the last week. They had a new bill coming up, SB 1091, and there was some kickback against it. They didn't want to do it. They're going to do an amendment. It was supposed to be rolled to this week, but I think it's going to, and it is on the docket for the committee this week, but I think it's going to get rolled to next week before they do anything.
Now, what does 1091 do? And who sponsored it?
Senator Kyle sponsored it in the Senate, and that's part of the problem, according to the other senators up there. They don't like Kyle very much. Apparently he didn't treat them very well when the Democrats were in charge up there, And so there's a lot of folks that have some hard feelings about that. But that, see, that kind of politics is what's wrong with what's going on now. Whether they like him or don't like him, if it's the right thing to do, they need to do the right thing, not because they're, you know, that they have some personal feelings.
What's to keep them from running a good bill, bill that would, in lieu of his? If they don't want to play ball with this guy, either because he's a Democrat or because they don't like the way he treated him, if they were really concerned about doing the right thing, couldn't they just create their own bill?
Well, sure, absolutely. And in fact, we went around. Kyle wasn't the first place we went to try and run this bill. We knew that, you know, it would be much harder if we didn't have a Republican running it, but we couldn't get a Republican in the Senate to do it.
Were there any that wanted to but just were afraid to?
Well, I don't know that they approached everybody. I wasn't in on everybody they talked to down there. That would have been Jared, our 7th District Coordinator. But there may have been somebody we missed that would have, but there was nobody on the committee that would.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Who's on that committee? If you know.
I've got it. I'll get it up here.
If you can look for that, I will read this while you're looking for that. It should come as no surprise that our Constitution, the basis of our nation and central core of values, is under attack. It sometimes seems that everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end run around the articles and amendments of the greatest governing document of all time. And if you're tired of leftists and unfriendly political forces telling America that our Constitution is a mere footnote, be advised that a lot of real Americans like you and me are going to come together at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee, just an hour southwest of Nashville on the weekend of April 26th. Great speakers like Scotty Nell Hughes, Karen Vaughn, and Joe Carr will be on hand, just to name a few. Great music, great food, and great times will be had by all. Go to defendtheconstitutionrally.com to learn more about this great event and hope to see you there. Listen to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media, and we are talking with Mike Warner from Montgomery County. He's a Constitution Party member, and he's on the ballot for the 67th District. And any luck finding that document, Mike, finding out who the committee members are?
Yes, I got it here. Mark Green is on it. Senator Norris is on it. Senator Stevens and Senator Kitron, Senator Bolin, and Senator Johnson. Senator Yeager is the chair. Those are the Republicans. And also Senator Harper and Senator Tate are the Democrats that are on the committee. And that's the State and Local Government Committee.
State and local government, okay. Well, you know Norris wouldn't. You know Yeager wouldn't. So I guess Senator Green said no, apparently.
Well, that's Senator Green seems stuck on 10,000 signatures, which won't get us anywhere. Okay, there's no point in doing 10,000. Basically, with the lawsuit in place, if they we don't want 2,500 signatures for a statewide. The original bill said 1,000, and we'd be much happier with that. But according to our attorney, that if they put up a bill and pass it through at 2,500, and it'd be less than that for the state senator and state representative and local, you know. But if they put up 2,500, it would basically take the wind out of our sails for our lawsuit, and that would be the end of it. And they know that. We've told them that. Okay. So, Senator Yeager seemed to be, talked like maybe he would consider the 2,500. We talked to Lieutenant Governor Ramsey last week when we were up there, and he seemed to be, he said he could live with 2,500.
You mean 2,500 just for it to be a recognized party?
2,500 statewide, either to be a recognized party or to run for governor or U.S. Senate or U.S. House.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't. Okay, two things on that. Number one, I don't actually think it'd be a problem to get 2,500. But you know, I don't understand. Like, I don't know if it was you or maybe I was talking to you. I don't personally, from my point of view, the states should not be paying for primaries anyway. Okay, the parties should pay for primaries. They should pay the cost of, if they're going to use your county elected officials, your county commission, your election commission, they should pay the cost of that, all right? And so that should be a, if you can afford, even if you didn't want to use county officials, it's a party. A party, there's nothing in the Constitution about parties. Okay, well,
no,
now,
not
back
a thing.
Up here. The state Constitution,
much less a two-party system.
Right. So I don't see where anybody should be setting a minimum number. You know, you set a price. Hey, if you want to run, then it's going to, and you want to, us to use, you want to use our facilities or whatever, then okay, here's the cost. You know,
right.
If you don't want to use ours, you can go get your own, because it's a party. A party has a platform, and I think it goes back to the free speech issue.
It is. Well, that's another thing Senator Green said, is he didn't believe it was a free speech issue, but it is a First Amendment issue. The right to associate, and that's what the federal judge said too. Okay, among many, many, many things that he said about it. Here's the thing: not a single one of them. And we've met with most of the committee members when I was down there last week. Not all of them, but all of them said that everything that the current law, the law that's been ruled unconstitutional is ridiculous. You know, you ask for 40,000 signatures in a district that only has 34,000 registered voters. That's kind of tough. But that's what we've been up against. That's why they'll sit there and say, well, you know, third parties have never been able to get off the ground. Well, duh. You know, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Not a single one of them that we met with could give me a reason why there should be any signature requirement whatsoever.
Well, Mike, we're up against a break here. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. We will finish talking about this. We've got about another 15 minutes or so. So stay with us. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we're talking with Mike Warner. Mike, we were talking a minute ago about the constitutional issues of the current state law regarding minor parties. And, okay, certainly it's a violation in terms of freedom of association, but on the free speech thing, I understand nobody has to I guess this is the reason I could say it's a I don't know, maybe it's not free speech, but you know what? The state makes laws impacting free speech when it comes to campaign donations, right? Okay.
Right.
So it seems to me I don't know. I just don't like the thought that, you know, I don't think the state should be able to tell you, oh, you're not a party unless you have X number of members. I mean, they don't have that requirement.
No, they've never had that requirement. They've never had to meet the requirement that they've been placing on other people. It sounds kind of like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, if you ask me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, they've never had to meet that requirement. And it would be okay with us if they took Republican, Democrat, all of the party names off and only put the names on. That would be great. Senator Norris brought that up at the last meeting. I think that would be wonderful.
He
said, take
that?
All the parties off. Why not take all the parties off? I agree. Okay, just take them all off and just run on your name and make people do the research. That's the problem. We don't have people doing any research. They go up there and pull the lever for their granddaddy's party that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
it hasn't existed.
It never was
in decades.
What they thought it was. And it
never.
Was never as good as they thought it was.
No.
And that goes
no, not ever.
For Republican or Democrat, either one.
But here's the thing that needs to be understood. The minor party suppression is not a myth. It's not something we've made up to support our cause. I can prove absolutely that the suppression of minor parties has been substantial and has hurt Americans on a large scale. If you take the voting totals of voting age people from 1960 to 1996, it dropped from the mid-60% of voting age voters to 1996 to below 50%, with one exception, and that exception was 1992. What happened in 1992, Dave? You remember?
Ross Perot ran.
He ran, and they forever said that he split the vote. You know what? He did nothing of the kind. If you took the trend line that was going down since 1964 and continuing down, and if you took it down to where it would have been had Ross Perot not been in the picture, and took the difference between that and the total number of people who voted in the 1992 election, you'd come up almost exactly with the number of votes that Ross Perot got.
Okay.
So he did not split the vote, but what he did is he majorly increased the voting participation of Americans because they had another choice.
Yeah, yeah. Whether
okay,
he was
so
crazy
that,
or not is beside the point, yeah.
It's all of that's beside the point. What it proves is, and that was only really one election. And in 96 he ran again, but, you know, that's when we found out he was crazy. But nevertheless, it proves that the other two parties are too much alike. They do not represent the interests of the people because people just give up. As long as it's only the two parties or the one party with two heads playing ping pong with themselves.
Two cheeks in the same butt.
Yeah.
Two cheeks in the same.
That's why it continues down and down and down, and it's never going to change as long as no matter which party is running it up there of the big parties, like big box party, big parties. I'm not even going to call them establishment anymore. They're just the big parties. That's like big business is out to mess up little business, and big government wants to mess up everybody else, okay, big parties, okay, and they're doing us in. If you keep supporting that mechanism, you're continuing to support your own downfall. It's kind of like, you probably studied this in the military, Stockholm Syndrome.
Yep.
You familiar with that is? That's when a captor bonds with the people he's captured, and by the end of the time with them, they start actually standing up for the guy because he didn't abuse them as bad as they thought he might.
Yeah.
And that's basically what the big parties have done. They've abused the American system. They've locked out any other voices but their own. And it's only recently that the federal courts have been siding with minor parties. There have been lawsuits before. But all of a sudden, states all over the nation, that's changing. And for the last 6 years, Ohio law has been set aside by the same circuit of federal courts as we're under here in Tennessee. So if they keep messing around, first of all, this 2,500 came from basically that's what the national average is. But at the rate it's going, that's going to be dropping pretty soon. It's not going to be 2,500 because they're being challenged all over the United States. So it'll only be the average for a little while. So they really better grab it while they can.
So now how long can they drag this thing out, or this appeal? How long do you think before – can they go another 2 or 3 years or what?
Well, if they do, basically, like I said, the same circuit rules for Tennessee as Ohio. As far as I'm concerned, if we're not going to get the 1,000 signatures that they originally put up, I'd just as soon let the court decide it. But, you know, it's not up to me. I'm only a county chair. I'm not a, you know, I'm not one of the bigwigs. But we don't really have a lot of chiefs. We just got mostly working Indians in the Constitution Party. But anyway.
Well, we've only got a few minutes here. You want to talk a little bit about your race and how that's looking and you know, why? You know, you're in a kind of a different district. I mean, it is primarily a Democrat district, and you're running the Constitution Party. That's going to bring some challenges. I guess there's some advantages, too.
Well, yeah, it's hard to tell how it's going to turn out. I'm looking forward to the challenge to see how it goes. I was well received when I was running as a Republican. Now that I'm Constitution Party, there's actually an enormous number of Democrats who are tired of their party too. And so I expect to get, probably not as many, but I expect to get a lot of Democrat votes. You know, if nothing else, you know, just because they don't like who they got else to run for or you know, to vote for.
Well, if you think about it, here in the South, the Democrats have, you know, they were in power for years, and so many people, you know, vote the way their dad or granddad did, but I think some of those people maybe haven't voted in a while because they realize what their party has become. At the same time, they can't bring themselves to register as a Republican. And quite honestly, you know, I don't – even though I despise the Democrat Party, I consider them it's a traitor's party. But the GOP is really not a whole lot better. And, you know, how could you make an argument right now to any Democrat, let's say a conservative, somebody who grew up in a conservative home, how could you make the argument right now for them to switch parties to the GOP? I really don't know what you would entice them with.
Will. They'll just because there's an R there, they won't vote. They may do a protest
vote. I've got about a
minute
left, so I'm going to get the last minute in. They're going to pull the plug on us here in a second, so I've got about a minute left, and I'll leave it to you.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for letting me on here and talk about this. We've got a solid plan going forward. We've got we're very fast growing. We're the largest growing limited government party in the United States. The Constitution Party is, and we've got a lot of good things to offer. So take a look. CPOTN.com is our state website. Check it out. You can register as a Constitution Party member right there online. Our meeting will be Thursday night, 6 o'clock, at Campbell's Kitchen on Dover Road in Clarksville. And you'll see the other meetings that are available all over the state on CPOTN.com.
Well, thanks, Mike, for being with us, and we'll have you back. Take care and good luck.
God bless.
God bless. Have a good one, Kurt.